Tucson, welcome into the beautiful 1030 The Voice studios on this warmest day of Tucson's winter. We're going to get into the 80s. Welcome to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am looking forward to the show we have today, and we're going to get right into it. It's our Tucson, I want to say, and I'll see if Kaiser agrees with this when he jumps in a minute. It's going to be our kind of urban underground, urban above ground arts and culture hour, just as it worked out. I'd like to say that I planned it this way, but I'll be honest, sometimes it just works out. Looking forward to having Kaiser here for the first half of the hour, an emerging artist here in Tucson. His new album, The King of Bones, comes out in a week. We're gonna talk about that. One of these emerging artists that we don't know yet in Tucson mainstream, but we will soon. And then Stephen Haynes, the new president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, just recently in from San Francisco, been in the position for maybe 6 to 8 weeks, really new to Tucson. We're treating him right, and he'll be in studio to talk about how he got to Tucson and the world-class orchestra that Tucson has. That I don't want to put Kaiser on the spot, but I mentioned to Kaiser we'd have Stephen Haynes on from the TSO, and Kaiser said, "I didn't even know we had an orchestra." So we're just introducing all kinds of stuff to the Tucson ecosystem today. Kaiser, thanks for being in studio. I'm looking forward to getting into it. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to Tucson. If you haven't been here your whole life, tell us about your background, and we'll get into your new album coming out, The King of Bones. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I moved out to Tucson in 2016 for college, basically. So I'm in my final year at U of A now. So I'm in my last semester, and it's been a journey, definitely.
For sure, for sure. So Atlanta and Tucson, pretty similar.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I was being kind of funny, but
oh no, totally.
Tell me about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think both very like culturally rich, culturally diverse cities, very art focused. You know, sometimes because it's, you know, I'm only there, you know, for a couple months out of the year since I'm going to school out here. But sometimes I go to Atlanta and I forget like just how art is such a big part of the community there. Like there will be paintings and murals and, you know, poetry events and art events and music events. Like the music scene out there is crazy.
In Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
So, yeah,
but you see kind of that same density of art and culture and spoken word poetry, music. You see all that kind of starting to bubble up here in Tucson.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I think people here more so than all the other places I've been are very much so invested in the arts. You know,
yeah.
They're very passionate about it, and I think you know, it, you can see that in how people live out here, definitely.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Man, that's so funny. I mean, I was, like I said, I was asking that question because I thought I knew the answer and I didn't anticipate the answer that you gave, which is cool. So you're a senior at the U of A, grew up in Atlanta. Are you heading back to Atlanta when you graduate, or have we sucked you into the beautiful black hole that is
honestly,
Tucson?
You guys got me.
We got you.
I might stick around for a little while though, but I think, you know, just right now, I think it's best for me to just get out into the world and explore.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So meanwhile, you've been in Tucson for the last few years. Tell us about your music. We'll get into more detail in our second and final segment together. But what kind of music do you do, and what are some of your inspirations?
So I would say that I make hip-hop and rap music. I sing a lot. You know, my stuff is very, very inspired by melody. I take a lot of inspiration from R&B,
okay.
You know, from rock music, of course, from hip hop and rap, you know, from classical music. I used to play cello way back when. So amazing. I just love music, and you know, I never really try to box myself in. I would much rather experiment and try and find new sounds, new styles, new ways to say things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you when we come back from our first break here in a minute to tell me about the rap and hip-hop scene in Tucson, because I think it's a little bit more rich than people realize. But you mentioned kind of the sound that you look to create. Is there anybody out there that you would say, I'm kind of like that person, or kind of try to style myself after how they're combining styles of music? Anybody that kind of is fitting what you try to do?
I mean, there's so many. There's so many. I could sit here and list influences and inspirations all day, just because, you know, I'm very sensitive to things like that. Inside Tucson, there's so many creative people, particularly like when it comes to rappers. You know, you have so many different styles, so many different varieties, so many characters, so many stories being told, and so I think that just makes the whole scene is richer because of that.
So we have, like I keep saying, because I just think we're gonna have a great conversation today, that we're gonna get into so much more detail in this second segment. But we're kind of setting the table at the moment. Tell me about the Kena Bones. Your new album comes out next Saturday,
yes.
Next week, next Saturday.
29.
We're about a week out. Thank you for coming on and sharing about it. Tell me about the album. Tell me why you put it together. What you hope to convey. Some of the messages in it. Tell me about the album a little bit.
So I first had the idea for the King of Bones back in 2017. Back then I was working on what I call my demo, but you know, I was first starting to find my sound and my identity as an artist. And I think with the King of Bones, I really wanted to make a statement, you know, for myself. I wanted to come into my own and really just walk the walk. You know, be exactly who I say I am. And I wanted to just give people something new that they could listen to. You know, I listen to the same music everyone else listens to, and so I feel the same way that they do about the current state of music. And so, you know, I figured the least I could do is try and, as an artist, try and do something to push myself, to push the boundaries, to push people's understanding of what music is, like, you know, how songs are supposed to sound. You know, that's really where my head has been at.
So this is kind of like an old school album, or you I'm hearing kind of a pushback on what you hear out in, I'll just say, I'm air quoting in studio, pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a pushback on what you feel like rap and hip hop has become, and you want to take it back to its real roots, or...
Not necessarily.
Not that edgy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty edgy, but, you know, I think the way that I make my music is not necessarily in a traditional way, but, what informs my music comes from tradition. It comes from the old stuff. And so, you know, I try to blend it as best as I can, but very much so progress oriented, very much so future oriented. I want to create new sounds. I want to create the future of music. Yeah.
But before we kind of pivot from this, I want to take executive privilege here behind the mic and extend this segment out a little bit, because normally we take a break. I want to continue on with one more question, and that would be, it is said about rap and hip hop that if you want to know what culture is thinking, like if you really want to know where culture is, what people are thinking, what people are feeling, listen to rap and hip hop. That gives you the real glimpse in. Do you agree with that? And if so, what are some themes in your album that you feel like tap into maybe cultural zeitgeist at the moment, or movements that are happening that we need to tune into about Tucson or otherwise?
I think that it definitely holds a lot of truth. I think that, you know, when you listen to a rapper or you listen to hip hop music, the genre is very much so like focused on people telling their personal story, their personal accounts of things that have happened to them. And so I think in that, when people listen to that, they can relate to it. You know, this is a real person going through real experiences, and you know, the way that they choose to deal with it is the way that maybe I can pick up something here and, you know, work on my life better. And I think, you know, kind of know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, inside my album, I try to talk about things that are personal to me. But in the same vein, I think a lot of things that are personal to me are common experiences. So, you know, I talk about, you know, feelings of anxiety, feelings of loneliness, feelings of love, of betrayal and stuff like that. You know, not so on the nose, not so specifically like I'm trying to narrate a story, but
sure.
You know, I hint at that stuff. It's like almost like a reoccurring theme inside my art that I make.
Is there anything about Tucson that shows up in your album? Any commentary on Tucson or culture? Would you say it's more of maybe a personal album, or is it a commentary on our culture and the community? What shows up?
Again, I think this go around, I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't make any acknowledgments of Tucson's like specifically, but you know, certain experiences that are inside the album are, you know, happened to me inside Tucson.
Yeah.
Certain experiences are just tied to certain locations that I've been to inside Tucson.
Is there one that you want to highlight, or do we keep to keep our listeners hanging for the album? Is there one? Can you give us one?
I think everyone knows what happens downtown Friday night.
Okay. Do we leave it there? Okay. Got it. Super. So let's go to our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you can get a hold of Kaiser's album that comes out this weekend, called The King of Bones, part of the emerging arts and culture scene in Tucson. We highlight it once a month here on this hour on Tipping Point. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about Kaiser's view, kind of the state of the union, if you will, on the rap, hip-hop, arts and culture scene in Tucson. And then at the bottom of the hour, don't forget, we'll welcome in Stephen Haynes, the new president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. It's an arts and culture hour. What's going on in Tucson on Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We'll be right back.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation. It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Tucson, welcome on back into the show. We're sitting down with Kaiser, rap and hip-hop artist here in Tucson that you don't know yet. His new album releases on Saturday, The King of Bones, an Atlanta native here in Tucson at the University of Arizona, but we're slowly getting our hooks in. He may step away when he graduates, but he'll be back, I'm sure. So, Kaiser, thanks for being in studio, and congrats on the album dropping in about a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about some of the nitty gritty of your album and your history. You're a psychology major at the U of A. I thought that was interesting to find out during the break. But tell me about the rap and hip hop scene in Tucson. You mentioned that Tucson has a lot of the same arts and culture vibrancy that you felt was in your hometown of Atlanta. And that was an interesting piece of our conversation in the first segment. How would you rate or describe the rap and hip hop scene in Tucson. And I think a lot of us don't realize there is much of one, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. Just dive in.
I think the hip hop scene in Tucson is like I said already, it's very rich, it's very diverse. There's a lot of different styles, a lot of different stories. But I think it's very much so in an emergent state where I feel like I wouldn't necessarily say Tucson has a distinct sound when it comes to hip hop. Like, Texas, you have Houston, you have Dallas, they have sound. You go to Georgia, there's Atlanta. Atlanta has a sound. New York has a sound. LA has a sound. I don't think Tucson quite yet has a sound in that same way, but I think, the more and more artists I'm seeing, like, they're kind of, leading the charge, they're kind of helping the city develop a distinct, unique sound and identity in hip hop. So I think that's very cool.
That is cool. You know, on this show, we talk a lot about brand and identity for Tucson. And what is it? What's the one that we want to own? And obviously, this is a small sub piece of that. But if you had to kind of put your futurist hat on and you had to kind of say in 5 or 10 years, this is the sound we'll be known for, like you mentioned those other cities. Where do you sense the rap and hip hop movement is going? What's that sound that might be associated with Tucson or the messaging? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, what's your prediction?
I would say probably in 5 to 10 years, there's gonna be a very like youthful presence inside Tucson. Very very community driven, community oriented, and I think that's really where I see it going. Just somebody who is able to speak, and tell real stories.
Right.
Authentic stories. And
So, Kaiser, I think you're touching on a larger cultural moment in Tucson, and I want to stay there for a second because Tucson does have a brand, at least a stereotype, of a city that brain drains talented people, right? Mm. That you come here from Atlanta and you leave, or you're here and you go to Atlanta, or you go to Houston, or you go to New York, that we don't have a young population, and that's just not as true as it used to be. That Tucson is undergoing this renaissance in so many areas, and there is this youth and younger professional movement that is really starting to happen and kind of reshape the city into a 21st century identity. And a lot of people don't realize it's happening. One of the reasons why we do these conversations monthly, because I think you hit on it, that there is just a rich, young cultural moment happening. Would you second that? Is that what I'm gathering from you? You see that too?
Totally. Every day when I go outside and I meet a new, a young kid who's just, figuring out how to do music, or somebody who's into photography, or I meet somebody who's into design, it's just like, wow, I meet you and I'm seeing great potential. I'm seeing things that when I look on the magazines, when I look on TV, I'm not seeing this type of energy there,
right?
But then I meet this kid that goes to Tucson High and he's like in the future with his fashion design,
right?
It's crazy,
right? And again, we've talked about that. I think that rap and hip-hop, but just the arts and culture is always on the cutting edge. Culture follows the arts. Culture follows the arts. And so if you want to know where culture is going, see what's happening in the arts. And I think you've given us a good glimpse at that. Let's make sure that we don't leave without talking about, again, your new album that is dropping this Saturday, kind of along the same timeline as a big event as well in Tucson that you want to talk about. The King of Bones comes out on Saturday. Where do we find that, buy that, support you as an artist? If people want to hear more, is there like a demo of it that we can check out ahead of time? Give us the details.
The King of Bones will be releasing on February 29th, and it's going to be available on all the streaming platforms. So that's Spotify, Apple Music. It's going to be on SoundCloud. It's going to be on YouTube, and we're working on getting physicals right now, but it's going to be all over the internet. You can also find it on my website. That's cardshark.us. That's KKARDSHARK.US.
Perfect. And Is there a price tag on the album? Are you, like, as an artist, are you more relying on shows and ticket sales and things like that? Or are you charging for the album? What's kind of the state of the industry there?
Well, the album will be available for free on SoundCloud. Okay. So if you can have a SoundCloud account, if you can access the internet, you can find the album free there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not really for sale besides just being on streaming platforms.
Cool.
You can buy it from iTunes for like $10. But yeah, other than that, I'm just really focused on getting the music out there. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So literally nobody has an excuse not to... not to listen to
no,
it, right?
Not at all.
Not to give it a go. You were mentioning, and this was kind of on the cuff, but I think it's cool. There's a big event next Saturday as well.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Speaking of the arts and culture movement and moment in Tucson, what's going on next weekend?
So my good friend Fazox, he's hosting an event in Subspace downtown at the Steinfeld Gallery. It is called I Am Black, and it is a cultural event. There was going to be poetry readings. There's going to be art displays. There's going to be a fashion show. And there will also be a listening party for my album. So it should be a free event. But again, that's February 29th around 5 p.m. Come out and show support. We would love to see you out there.
That's amazing. Is there a website, a Facebook page? If we want, do we have to reserve tickets on Eventbrite or anything like that? Do you know the details?
No. As of now, no.
Okay.
But look out for a flyer. You can find the flyer on social media.
On social. Okay. Mm-hmm. Super. And it's called We Are...
It's called I Am Black.
I Am Black. Mm-hmm. I Am Black. Very cool. Kaiser, congratulations on many, many things. Congratulations. Senior year at U of A. Being in Tucson. I love that you're here from Atlanta.
Thank
congratulations
you.
On your album dropping. Much success to you. I'm going to go find it and listen to it and really excited about it. Thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for what you add into the community in Tucson. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much for having me, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let's try that again, right, Kaiser? That wraps up our conversation with Kaiser. His new album, The King of Bones, drops on SoundCloud and other streaming platforms next week. Check him out. If you missed our wide-ranging conversation on the youth and young and arts and culture moment, the Renaissance happening in Tucson right now, go back to kvy.com/podcasts, listen back to the conversation or iTunes or Google Play Music. When we come back from a short bottom of the hour news and sponsor segment, we're going to talk to Stephen Haynes, the new president and CEO, fresh from San Francisco at the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. A world-class organization here in Tucson that maybe not enough people know about. We're going to change that today with Stephen. This is Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. We'll be right back.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing It, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com. Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Daily, 9 to 10. Whoa, we do We do in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And I'll tell you what happened there. This will show you how much of a fan I am of 1030 The Voice. I was listening on my phone this morning to Wake Up Tucson on my way in. And as I was pulling up my notes for our next conversation, my volume was on, and I was listening to myself on my phone, listening to 1030 The Voice. We're your hotspot for all great news and discussion here in Tucson. So that's what happened there. Stephen Haynes, how are you? President and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
I'm doing very well. Good morning, Zach.
Really excited about this conversation and excited to have you here in Tucson. I think this is where we want our conversation to go, and that is obviously want to get to know you more. But I think the question that maybe you're in the thick of is how do you reintroduce and reengage a 91-year-old organization mm-hmm. with its community when the 91-year-old organization has always been here, has been kicking butt.
Right.
How do we really create a renaissance of that connection? We want to talk about the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, what it's been doing and what it means in Tucson. But Stephen Haynes, tell us how you yes. got here. You have an amazing background in the arts community. Tucson is so lucky to have you. Let's introduce you to Tucson.
Well, thank you very much. I've been really fortunate with my career. I was a young kid back in grade school. I was put at the piano for piano lessons, and then started performing trombone, and it was a hobby for me. But I did actually consider for a while going into musical performance, but then started my career out in Florida with an orchestra, the Florida Pops Orchestra, and just kind of meandered my way through Florida, ending up with the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra as being their marketing manager. Then took a wonderful leap of faith up to Philadelphia. The music director Peter Nero wanted me to come up and work with the Philly Pops, where I then became the president and CEO of the Philly Pops, and it was really a great time for us there. But that wasn't enough, so I moved to the West Coast to San Francisco, ran a great music festival there, and it really was just a gorgeous setting in the city with an outdoor amphitheater seating 10,000-12,000 plus people. Was in Southern California the last few years as CEO of the Young Americans, and then found my way here to Tucson to work with the symphony. So I've kind of
For sure.
gone in a big circle around the country. but I am thrilled to be here. I mean, I've worked with so many different symphony orchestras over the years. I was vice president of the Philadelphia Orchestra for a while as well. And, the reputation of this organization is absolutely known across the country. And I am just so happy to be here in this community and working with our music director, Jose Luis. And the quality of the Tucson Symphony is absolutely yeah. outstanding.
And we're going to certainly talk about probably in the second segment, Stephen Haynes, probably by 6 or 8 weeks, president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. We're going to talk about the current programming and what the TSO is doing so well in Tucson, and then also your vision, mm-hmm. Cast that for us 3 or 5 years out. But, you know, we had the pleasure of meeting Catherine Martin as she was here in Tucson in 2019, mm-hmm. Really helping to guide the organization through a search for what ended up being you, Stephen Haynes.
Right.
But tell me about that moment when this opportunity crossed your desk and when you looked at what the TSO is and what it means to Tucson, the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. What got you excited about this next step in your personal journey to come to Tucson?
Great question. There were actually a few things. I really was looking for what the next fit, and truly, at this point of my life and career, I wanted the perfect fit. And this community and this organization kind of ticked all of those boxes. Mm. As I said before, the quality of Tucson Symphony Orchestra is well established. And of course, appointing Jose Luis Gomez the music director 3 years ago, that has only made the organization even better.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then there's other layers within the organization that have that impressed me even more so, especially the education outreach programs. Tucson Symphony does all of these incredible performances in the classroom. We bus the kids into the mm-hmm. music hall for the the kinder concerts and the young kids concerts. But mostly the Young Composers Project is a project that no other symphony is doing. And I mean, there are some composer series and programs across the country, but this organization actually takes these compositions that these incredibly talented young people are doing and programming them as part of their actual classic and masterwork series. And no other orchestra is doing that. And that is what was most impressive to me, is how this organization at all levels is really running so well, but devoted to the community and mm-hmm. nurturing tomorrow's talent. That's what impressed me. And then on the city side, this is a community, Upper KC community.
Yeah.
And having lived in the Los Angeles area the last few years, as we know about traffic and sprawl and many other things, I was thrilled to look at Tucson as this great next step for me. But it's not just a stepping stone. This is where I now live. I've purchased a home, and this is where I intend to stay for a long time, because it is just such an amazing community that is so supportive of not just the performing arts, but all nonprofits and segments of the community. So
absolutely.
I'm really happy to be here.
And we've treated you right so far, personally. Tucson's been good to you.
Tucson has been great to me. I have to be honest. It's in some ways I'm shocked how outgoing the city is, how welcoming it is. I had people reaching out to me even before I moved here. People I did not know, saying, "Oh, we need to introduce you to this person or to this organization or this other segment of the community." And that's kind of how you and I came to meet as well, Zach. So the community has been more than welcoming, you know, and I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. The Tucson Symphony Orchestra, again, 91-year-old organization, has been doing incredible work. Has been supported by the Tucson community. But you've also been very authentic, even in conversations with me in the past, that you've been a little bit surprised how much depth of Tucson there is still yet to penetrate in terms of the connection between the TSO and the community. Mm-hmm. Contrast some of these other communities you've been in, and the connection to the orchestras and the arts and the community organizations, and cast a little bit of vision of where you'd love to see the TSO and the Tucson community be even more connected, and the Tucson community be even more knowledgeable and more investing in this gem that really we have in our community.
Well, I mean, that's really my focus. I mean, where I've been in the past, you really can't compare those regions and those cities to this city. But I can look at my approach and how do we elevate Tucson Symphony Orchestra. I mean, like you said, this is a 91-year-old gem of an organization with an incredible history. But there are so many ways and opportunities that we have to introduce the symphony to new audiences. And it starts with these music in school programs that we have.
For sure.
I mean, it is extensive. We reach tens of thousands of students each year throughout all of Southern Arizona. And we have further opportunities you know, in developing new audiences with the university. But I mean, this is a large city, and I think, you know, Tucson has a self-perception issue, which I find interesting coming in. I had so many people tell me, "Oh, well, we're such a small town," and I'm like, "No,
you're 33rd largest town in the U.S."
Absolutely,
yes, Stephen Haynes,
right? So, but still, it's a very large community there is still a lot to develop, and again, this city has a wealth of arts organizations, and not just performing arts, but you know, the museums and the history and the rich culture and the culinary culture. It is already here. We just need to reintroduce this institution to the community. And again, it's not just a classical organization as well. We have multiple series, but there's that pop series as well. But we do all these wonderful special programs. So there really is something for everyone. But again, what the music director has done here is taken the history But then crafted it with these ladies and gentlemen of the orchestra, and the quality is just through the roof. I've never seen a younger orchestra.
Wow.
That is so dynamic. Yeah, wow. The first time I stood in front of the symphony back in December.
Wow.
I looked up and was beyond surprised. The youth, the vitality, the energy of this orchestra is truly second to none that I've worked with. And so my hope, and I know we will achieve it with the staff as, and the board as well, is so that every person in this community knows about the Tucson Symphony Orchestra and that we are ingrained truly in the genetic, you know, code and makeup of this cultural community.
We're with Stephen Haynes this morning, the new by, I think I've been saying 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, it's been, only been a couple of months.
Right.
The new president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Let's make the first step towards achieving that goal, Stephen, when we come back from the break. Okay. Tell us about some of the upcoming program. Tell us about what conductor Jose Luis Gomez is doing and just the kind of the docket that our listeners can engage with here in 2020
sure.
with the TSO. And then I'd also, before we say goodbye, would love to talk about what your 3 to 5 year vision is, kind of cast that vision of the kind of programming music and the opportunities that you'd really love to see with the TSO. All of that when we come back from our last break of the hour. We'll visit some of our great sponsors here on Tipping Point. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back with Stephen Haynes. Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to ImpactSOAZ.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time, but there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Tucson, welcome back. Before we jump back in with Stephen Haynes, very, very new president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. We're lucky to have him, and he's in studio for the next few minutes. This segment is sponsored by The Talent Store, founded by my friend Devin Underwood. Here's the thing. There's two things coming to a head here. So many of you listening are running small and mid-sized and even larger businesses in Tucson. We thank you for that. At the same time, as larger organizations have been coming into our market, the talent pool continues to tighten, which means it's on you as businesses to become a business that top talent wants to come work for. And that brand is harder to create than you might think. That's what the Talent Store does. Whether you're looking to attract a high-level leader or fill in a key position, or you just want to retain and develop your current teams, don't wing it. For more information, visit yourtalentstore.com and schedule a free consultation. The Talent Store can help you with a holistic talent strategy to attract, acquire and retain the talent you need to make your business successful in Tucson. Back to Stephen Haynes, the president and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. We kind of talked about the state of the union, so to speak, of Tucson and the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Let's talk about the great work that the staff is doing. Jose Luis Gomez, the music director, has been doing for 2020. How can the Tucson community engage with? Give us some of the highlights of the programming and the series happening at the TSO this year.
Well, if I went into depth, we would have to sit here for another few hours and talk.
But for sure.
But what the music director, Jose Luis Gomez, has done is crafted a new season that has put the focus on where it truly needs to be, our product, which is the orchestra, Tucson Symphony Orchestra. And I think that's one of my top priorities, as well as Jose's, is to ensure that the product... And that's what one of the things I've really been working on with Jose and especially the staff is, you know, what is the product? Is it really these programs? Is it Beethoven's Fifth or Beethoven's Second and Eighth Symphonies, or is it this composite of talent of the ladies and gentlemen that are the Tucson Symphony Orchestra? And that is our product. And to me, that is what's most exciting as we approach next season and seasons beyond, is it's an even higher level positioning of just each of these individual programs, which is what I said before, there's truly something for everyone, but it's ensuring that the top positioning and the branding of this institution is the actual orchestra itself. It's the people, the talent that perform on these stages. So, and again, we've got an incredibly talented orchestra. So this current season, since it was Beethoven's and currently is Beethoven's 250th birthday, there's been worldwide celebrations of the 250th. So this year, the Tucson Symphony Orchestra has been performing all of the Beethoven symphonies, and that will be the finale will actually then be in the 2020-21 season in December.
Okay.
With the finale of this Beethoven cycle, where we will be performing Beethoven's ninth symphony with the full Tucson Symphony chorus.
Incredible. That's in December.
That's in December of 2020.
His birthday week.
It is actually his birthday week. Exactly. And it's going to be a very interesting performance, because Jose Luis also is, knowing that this is in December and in the Christmas period, he's taking that theme of Ode to Joy, the Beethoven's Ninth, and then kind of expanding it in the first half and doing kind of a classical Christmas positioning. So we're trying to reintroduce a performance that the Tucson Symphony used to do in the past, but we're trying to reintroduce this new classical performance in the month of December and create a new tradition for many years to come.
Beautiful. Real quick, before we pivot to a little bit of vision casting as we close out our show, how can Tucson engage with these series, these opportunities? And I guess my question is, one-off tickets versus purchasing, I think you have like a 5-concert package. Mm-hmm. Break that down for us. How do we get our butts in the seats at the TSO?
Well, to me, that's most important. I want to see performances that are filled.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of different entree points, and price points where, we are absolutely accessible. And we are looking at some new opportunities moving forward with ticket pricing. It's interesting. This year, the theme for the current year being the Beethoven year is revolutionary. But what I keep talking about with the board and with the staff is, how are we going to be revolutionary moving forward in connecting Tucson Symphony Orchestra with an engaged community? And so there are multiple ways, and that those trends have shifted over the years, shifted from a subscription model to a single ticket model. But I still believe that a subscription and multiple tickets offerings are still the pathway for this organization and for the people that want to attend. You create a more engaged audience goer, and they have a better connection, I think, to the mission. and to the music. And we have so many other opportunities with pre-concert lectures by the music director and the guest artists. We do all of these incredible weekend family type of concerts at our office, Symphony Center. So again, so many different ways to be up close, up and personal to get to know this organization and this orchestra. And then we have the classic series, the Masterworks, as well as the Pops and these specials. So again, there is something for everyone. And even next year, they're, we're doing The Empire Strikes Back with the big... The screens on stage with the orchestra performing live. And that is a perfect way to introduce somebody new to the organization is through some of these specials. And you will then realize immediately what you're hearing is of the highest quality. And you will be engaged and hooked from the first moment.
Love it. We're with Stephen Haynes, almost to the end of our conversation. He's the very, very new... And we're so glad to have him in Tucson, President and CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. TucsonSymphony.org, Stephen Haynes, is that the best place to kind of start looking at some of these options and seeing what's coming up? Is that a good one-stop shop?
Absolutely. Go to the website, like Zach just said, TucsonSymphony.org, and you will see all of the information for the remaining performances of this season. As well as the full season for next year. And you can call us directly as well. Our number you'll find right on the front page of our website is as well. But you can give us a call and talk with any of our box office associates, and they'll walk you through all the various options. But we'll make sure we find a way to get you in the seat to enjoy this incredible symphony that is your Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
Super. I love that subscription model, by the way. Maybe it's a generational theme, but I think the 20 to 40 crowd has grown up on subscriptions. So that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. We have about 2.5 minutes, and so vision cast for us a little bit, Stephen Haynes. 3 to 5 years. What's the dream? What are we seeing in 5 years as opposed to now? And what's going on now is great, but what's happening in 5 years?
Absolutely. Well, the organization completed a strategic plan over the last several years, and the key component, I think, from that strategic plan is community engagement. And so how are we going to engage with the community at all levels? And that will be through admission-free performances. And if you come to our website, you will see that we actually are doing an admission-free performance about a month from now,
okay,
at the end of March at the Tucson Music Hall. It is called Bravo. And so you just need to go to the website, and all the information will be there. But talk about a way to engage with your community.
Yeah.
So this is admission-free. Everybody is invited. You just need to make a reservation and, you know, bring your friends, family members. But we want to do even more of that and start some new programmatic elements as well, expanding the concert series and expanding even beyond Tucson. Jose Luis definitely wants to expand our youth programs, and we want to look at also creating a recording for the organization. But I want to do more. I want to touch more people. I want to engage with more people and ensure that Tucson Symphony Orchestra is at the tip of everybody's tongue here in this great community.
Exciting. And thank you for the time you've given today to start that process.
Absolutely.
Would love for this to continue to be a platform to support the work that you're doing. I think that Tucson and the Tucson Symphony Orchestra need to be more connected mm-hmm. than ever. And again, we're the 33rd largest city in the entire U.S. of A. Mm-hmm. We're a big city, and big cities and the arts support each other. And so I think that's my vision, is that the arts in Tucson are so intertwined over the next 5 or 10 years. It's where we're at.
I agree. Thank you so much. And that's my hope, too, is that with Tucson Symphony Orchestra, we're going to, as we grow, the entire arts community will continue to grow and expand and see great success together.
Stephen Haynes, thank you so much.
Thanks,
President
Zach.
And CEO of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. TucsonSymphony.org. Go and check it out. That's it for us today here on Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hugh Hewitt coming up for the next couple hours. Bill Buckmaster at noon, and so much more through the rest of the day. Tucson, we'll see you at 9 tomorrow. Don't go away.